Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Podcast Network. This is the Jeff, Lori, and Nick Show.
Welcome to the Jeff, Lori, and Nick Show, and we are an informative talk show that's focused on providing solutions to the many problems and issues of the day. We're happy to have with us today on another exciting show, and we're kind of continuing with dealing with the issues of mental health, drug addiction, and suicide prevention. So today we have someone else from the Adams Board of Cuyahoga County, two great guests to continue with our discussions that we've been talking about as it relates to suicide prevention. And today we have two great guests, Dr. Reginald Blue, who is a psychologist and also an Adams Board member. So that's great. We also have with him Aaron DiVincenzo, who is the Director of Prevention and Children's Behavioral Health Programs with the Adams Board. Welcome to our show today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
We're glad to have you, and we're going to just jump right into it. Okay. Aaron, good morning, and we're going to ask you just to, we're going to start with Aaron DiVincenzo. Could you tell us, give us a little bit about your background and tell us what you do?
Sure. So at the Adams Board, I oversee the children's unit, which is all of our prevention and children's behavioral health programs that we fund at the Adams Board. A little bit of background before coming to the Adams Board. I worked with children and families as a mental health therapist. So I started with early childhood. So I've actually worked all the way from birth all the way up to adults. I'm kind of focusing on more of the attachment and parenting kind of aspects. But That's about it.
Oh, okay. And Dr. Blue, Dr. Reginald Blue, could you give us a little bit about your background? Tell us what you do there at the Adams Board.
As a member of the Adams Board, I sit and assist with other members reviewing programs that are presented to us to provide help and assistance to people of Cuyahoga County who might be in need of some type of help with substance abuse, mental health concerns, and obviously crisis of virtually any type. I'm a psychologist in private practice, and I've been doing that for these number of years, and been a psychologist. I guess it's 1975 or so, 77 or so, thereabouts.
Awesome. Also today we have with us standing in for Lori and Nick, our producer, Darvio Morrow. So Darvio's got a list of questions on it. He's pretty excited. Well, Darvio, how are you today?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Okay, we're going to jump right into the questions. Why is it important to talk about suicide in the Black community?
Well, for us, the county board has identified suicide prevention as a main goal for in public education as a top priority for the county. And it's an issue that confronts us all. And there's data from a variety of sources indicating that it's a major problem. We provide extensive prevention programs within schools, agencies, communities, as well as public education campaigns and trainings. And we recognize that suicidal thought can happen to anybody at any time. And we want people to be able to reach out for help for themselves or anyone else in their lives if they feel might be struggling or need any kind of help or assistance.
Do you feel as though, I guess I shouldn't say do you feel as though, I know for sure, for a fact, it's there has been a stigma attached to, a very negative stigma attached to mental health in the Black community. So do you feel as though that's something that still needs to be addressed or something that we still need to deal with? And kind of speak to that issue, if you would.
Most definitely. In the Black community, anything that relates to mental health issues or asking or needing for help, it's taboo. It's seen as a weakness of some sort. Images are and have been promoted that communicate that we have to be strong. We have to deal with our issues in our own way. Using our own personal resources to do anything other than that is to be weak. And that's not the way of life. The reality of life is we all get by with a little help from some of our friends.
I like that word, friends. And we should be our brother's keeper. And when we talk about communities, that means we should care about one another. And the word community kind of tells us that we're all connected in some way or another. So that is so important to check on our loved ones and friends. And why do you feel as though it's urgent that we talk about suicide? Maybe both of you could, Aaron, you could kind of speak to that, and Dr. Blue.
Yeah, I think recently we've seen an increase in youth that have died by suicide, and especially in the Black community. Black adolescents, the suicide attempts have increased by 73% between 1991 and 2017. And as of 2018, suicide became the second leading cause of death in Black children from ages 10 to 14, and the third leading cause of death in Black adolescents from 15 to 19. So it's really important that we have these conversations and reach out. I don't think we fully understand why it's raising. Those rates are rising, and especially for youth, we're still learning and trying to understand. But when it comes to our children, we want to be proactive. We don't want to wait. We want to start those conversations, let them know we're here and when we care.
So that kind of speaks to the urgency. Dr. Blue, could you kind of add to that, speak to that as well?
Most certainly. As you said, and as Aaron said, we are our brother's keepers. We typically, just as human beings, see someone in difficulty, and we typically go to help. And where suicide is concerned, it's an issue that is not addressed enough. We should be paying attention to our friends, neighbors, anyone that's in our circle that may be struggling or having some difficulty, and making it known that asking for help is not a problem. It is the thing to do. When you get the idea that you're not you want to reach out for help. You're going to keep your problem to yourself. You know, there are consequences to all of that. That leads to possible physical health issues, false notion that experiences that people have don't need to be presented. Stand on your own. That's not the way to go. If we look at James Baldwin, who once said, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And that most definitely applies when it comes to suicide and mental health issues and people asking and needing help.
Dr. Blue, do we know why suicide is increasing in the Black community?
That's a very, very difficult question to answer because it's not a single one issue. It's a multifaceted problem, and I think there are many things that contribute to it. That can range from social media, which is very much voyeuristic and creates a subliminal pressure for us to conform and compete with the appearances of our peers. There's cyberbullying that goes on. Like we said before, there's a stigma that obstructs African Americans in particular from seeking help. Because of these kinds of things, appropriate help is often often not accessible for a variety of reasons. And it's like I said, it's a very complicated issue and one that we can't put our finger on and say, this is the single thing. It's way more involved than that.
Mm-hmm. And so, Doctor, what can we as a community first, and then, of course, the large community as well, but what can we do as a community to begin to address it?
Well, I think the first thing we can do as a community is to take a different kind of approach and attitude toward mental health issues and how we see them, how we view them, and how we deal with problems that we might encounter. We need to talk among ourselves. Need to take advantage of the community resources that are available, frontline crisis services. There's a number that is easily reached, 216-623-6888. That's a frontline crisis service center. We also have a Lifeline chat where an individual can text 988. Like I said, utilize services that are here. Take a different approach and attitude toward mental health and issues that people have, and recognize that there is a problem and we all need help. Everybody's going through something at one point in time or another.
Absolutely. And Ms. DiVincenzo, can you talk a little bit more about, you touched on what's going on with the youth. Those high rates are staggering to me. And I wasn't aware of that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, we're seeing since the pandemic, and we don't know if it's because of the pandemic or we're concerned it might be partly due to the pandemic, being isolated, not being, you know, around school with their peers. But we are seeing an increase in the amount of children who are dying by suicide. And so we do really want everyone to be aware of that, to reach out to children and talk to them. We can't always predict and tell if a child's thinking about suicide, but our adolescents and teens, you know, sometimes they might talk more about suicide or wanting to die or disappear. We might also see that they might be in response to fear of failure, or if they've gotten in trouble or like been suspended or something like that, or gotten a fight with their parents, you know, it can be something small like that. We also see that they might be talking or writing or drawing about death, but that includes social media, like texting a friend or posting something on social media too. So we really have to be aware of that. There tends to be a little bit more of like isolation or withdrawing from people too. And so that's part of our concern. With our collective trauma that we've all experienced through the pandemic, we think that might be contributing to it a little bit as well. But we all have our own forms of trauma too, things that we've experienced. And you know, some of the public displays of racial injustice have also been, you know, hard for everybody to cope with and to see. We also see teenagers tend to do risky things like you know, driving too fast or using drugs and alcohol. And that can also, you know, contribute to they're more likely to trying, you know, or considering dying by suicide or killing themselves. You know, and we know teens can be impulsive. So that's why we really want to be proactive in having these conversations, you know, before we think they might be having problems. We can reach out ahead of time and let them know that we're here to support them, you know, open up, let them know that life is better with them here. I think that was one of our campaigns that the Adams Board had, you know, to target everyone, that it is important. And I think one thing with teenagers and adolescents, they don't always think long term about what their actions could do. And we're also seeing the increase to guns, which is a concern as well, because the attempts used to be more like hanging or by overdose. And now we're seeing young children dying by guns. And so we're very concerned about that. There's also some safety precautions we can take to, you know, kind of decrease how accessible a gun could be if you have guns in the home, making sure that they're stored safely, things like that.
Wow. And also, what can the community, the overall community, do to help prevent suicide?
I think it's really important first, like Dr. Blue was talking about, is, you know, having that conversation. I mean, I see so oftentimes adolescents will turn to social media or Google's or friends to kind of learn more about situations. And so if parents or community members or trusted adults could help have those conversations and guide those conversations, that can be very helpful, because you never quite know what you're going to get on the internet. You know, they could be getting something really helpful and supportive, but they could also be getting something that's not helpful and not supportive. And so we want to pull our children closer in times of struggle. I think that's a natural instinct that we really want to encourage as a community to do that. You know, show our teens that they have meaning, things will get better, that you're there for them, and that there is help. You know, even making sure that they can program in their phone the crisis text line. I think it's 741-741. And they can even text 988, the national suicide hotline too. So I think having that and letting them know that there's one trusted adult in their phone, that can be really helpful. And like I said, be proactive. We don't want to wait sometimes for children to talk about suicide. We want to maybe have those conversations ahead of time, because they can be impulsive.
Right. Absolutely. And Dr. Blue, you kind of touched on this earlier, but just to kind of reiterate to make sure everybody gets the information. If someone needs help, how can they get it?
Like I said, one of the obvious things I'd say, we have crisis services available through the Adams Board. A simple dial of 988, you can get a lifeline chat or text. Adolescents, young adults, like to text and chat via, you know, that medium. We can also call your front line. That number is 216-623-6888. And before I move on, you had mentioned earlier reasons as to why we're dealing with these kinds of statistics. And there are a couple more that I would like to mention. When we talk about access to the appropriate type of help, African Americans are seven times more likely than whites to live in neighborhoods with high rates of poverty. African Americans have 25% are uninsured and more likely to see emergency or their private practitioner for mental health issues when those practitioners may or may not be as prepared as a mental health professional to deal with their problems. In addition to the stigma, when you also think about the idea of it being taboo to seek or request help, when you stuff it, keep it inside of you, typically that is going to manifest itself in some other kind of way. That could be lead to physical health issues and other kinds of unhealthy thinking, behaviors that just are not conducive to getting the kind of help that's needed. We also have to think in terms of reasons that we have these kinds of stats with in the African-American community, a frequent exposure to violence or violent crimes and accumulated trauma. You know, there are higher rates of poverty, homelessness, and exposure to violence and violent crimes in the African-American community, typically. Witnessing violence and is a significant aspect of trauma, which can lead to stress, depression, anxiety. Exposure to violence can regularly affect a child's development in terms of their psychological, emotional, or physical development. And ultimately, where it comes to kids, those who are exposed to that kind of environment for extended periods of time tend to abuse alcohol and drugs, experience school-related activity, school-related difficulties, develop depression and other mental health issues, behave aggressively in schools, and commit crimes as an adult. And I would actually be very, very remiss if I didn't mention the fact that continued exposure to racism, anti-Blackness, and discrimination plays a role. If we just look at incidences that have occurred right here in Cleveland, Tamir Rice, we look at George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Walter Scott. The reaction to that is that we've seen in the African-American community and communities around the country. That's just the tip of the iceberg, because it compounds the extreme anxiety and depression that's already associated with everyday effects of living with racism, anti-Blackness, and discrimination. It's research has shown that people who experience that are more likely to experience depression, anxiety, and other symptoms associated with post-traumatic stress disorder. And then you deal with situations such as structural racism, which it permeates public policies, our public institutions, housing, education, the justice systems. African-Americans are at greater risk of being targeted, profiled, and arrested by law enforcement for minor offenses. And the rate of incarceration is 6 times that of white Americans. All of these things have their negative impact on the African-American community, mental health issues, and so forth. It's a massive problem that needs to be addressed across the board, and the entire community really needs to be committed to doing things that will help stem the tide where suicides are concerned, because suicides are preventable. And we need to approach that in the with that type of attitude.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Blue, it sounds like there's almost like two things going on at once here. There's the issues that we deal with inside of the community and the exposure to the trauma that we have from that. And then also the external factors that can be traumatic also. Is that basically what you're seeing, that we're dealing with kind of two things at once right now?
Everything at once. Yeah, it's not a situation that's isolated. We are a part of the larger community, and what goes on in a larger community goes on in the African-American community. And when you talk about negative statistics, the African-American community seems to experience more negativity with respect to all kinds of health and mental health issues than the larger community. If we just looked at the incarceration rates, not good, you know, not good at all. You know, just being an African American exposes us to a variety of things that the larger community does not necessarily have to address. And if you're African American, the talk, as we are beginning to hear from other communities, is something that African Americans have known about for years. And it's something that we give to our kids when we think that they're going to come in contact with law enforcement, and try to avoid certain behaviors that could exacerbate a situation. We've experienced this type of thing for centuries, and it continues to go on. Things are better, but we still have to deal with it. Like I said, look at just some of the things that have happened in the last few years, where there's a need to express the concern that Black lives matter. Not to say that all lives don't matter, because all lives do matter. But when it comes to law enforcement, it's Black lives seem to be taken more so than lives of other communities.
And Dr. Blue, let me ask you this on that note, because I've heard several people say this, you know, as we see these incidents. Particularly, I know the most recent one, the one in Memphis, with those officers. A friend of mine was like, "I'm not watching the video. I can't watch these anymore." Do you think that has an impact on our mental health as well, when you see these incidents, and then especially when it's on video, say like the George Floyd incident or the incident in Memphis, and we see it over and over and over again? Does that have an impact on our mental health as well?
Most definitely a negative impact. It has to have a negative impact. That's your friend expressed it perfectly. He does not want to watch and see those kinds of videos anymore. If it's not something that you want to see, witness, be part of, clearly there's a negative impact there.
I remember sometimes even just covering your eyes, telling very young children or children of all ages to cover their eyes when there's something scary on television. I mean, that's a great protective factor. And I think as adults, we forget that too, that everything we see, everything we hear, it impacts us. You know, it's something that we consume and we see. And so if we see trauma, because that's what those are traumatic events that we're seeing on the social media and spread around in those videos. They impact us, and there is a cumulative effect on seeing that. So it impacts all of us. It impacts our children, especially because they may not have as much life experience to know that that's not all of life, you know? So like we children especially need help to know that there's hope, that there is, that's not everyone. You know, do you know what I mean? That's where they need us as our community to help guide away from images like that, because they are just so impactful, but in a negative way. And so we need to help, you know, balance that with lots of positive and, you know, the helpful, the growth, the connections that they can see that they're not alone. There is hope, and it won't always be like that.
Right.
That makes sense.
And in one last thing, when we talk about mental health, it includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, how we act, and thus how we relate to others, and how we make healthy choices, and how we deal with stress. And witnessing those kinds of events can only have a negative effect. It's not something that anyone needs to experience or witness. It's, to be honest, it's inhuman. It's inhuman. And, you know, the like you said, the incident in Memphis, I will not give you my personal thoughts on that, but you can imagine.
Right, right.
You can only imagine.
Absolutely. Finally here, I want to ask both of you this question. Aaron, starting with you, because in your last response, you brought up something that kind of made me think about this. Kids are also being exposed to more violence in general on social media, regardless of whether it's involving police or involving each other, fight videos and all that kind of stuff. Do you think the increase exposure to violence in general has a negative impact also?
100%. Absolutely. And I think just in the development of empathy, we have to remember that empathy is developed. That's something that comes over time. And we've seen like the empathetic reaction decrease over time with exposure to violence. I've seen some research on that. And that's even, you know, like if you're watching a football game and someone has a hard hit and you go that's that empathic reaction. We're seeing that decrease with increased exposure because we get used to it and our bodies get normalized to it. So yeah, absolutely. Everything we're exposed to impacts us. And I think that's where we really have to be careful about what children are exposed to. I think it used to happen pretty easily that we could, you know, choose what our children saw and what they didn't see. Because, you know, it wasn't just at the tips of our fingers at our phones that we could pull up a video or any kind of music or things like that. So it is harder to limit what children are exposed to. And I do also want to remind us that for children, it can be something really small that for them feels like it's life-changing. Like it can be as small as, you know, parents taking away a privilege, like taking away their phone or something like that. And they feel like that's the end of the world. So we have to remember that children and adolescents sometimes, you know, it's not always a big thing. They might have everything going for them and like one thing changes. And then all of a sudden, you know, they decide to take action and kill themselves. So it can be real small. It doesn't have to be a big problem that we as adults look and see that's a big problem. It can be for children. It can be something small in adolescents. And I don't mean that to minimize it, but just from our perspective, it might not be the same as what they're experiencing. So we always want to like dig a little deeper and try to understand because kids only show us what's on the outside, like what they're saying, what they're acting, but a lot of things happen underneath the surface. So we have to be aware of that and that we might not always understand how something is impacting them because they might not always show us on the outside, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Your thoughts, Dr. Blue?
I am in 100% agreement. I was just thinking as Aaron was speaking, I would characterize it as the difference between a veteran soldier who has seen combat and a soldier who is just getting to combat. The reactions to the death and destruction around them is totally different. the veteran soldier typically has become hardened to what he or she sees, whereas the new recruit or the new person online, their reaction is totally different. It's more offensive. It's more off-putting. And as Aaron says, we need to really be concerned about others, particularly the young, but we are our brother's keepers. And we can't just, in my estimation, just randomly go by and not take a look at individuals' responses to whatever stressors they may be experiencing, because it how people feel and how they feel or might react to a given situation doesn't come with a flashing neon sign. This is happening. That's happening. It could be something, as Aaron says, something very simple in terms of a change in behavior that you might notice. Pay attention to it. Like I said, we're all going through something at one point in time or another.
Absolutely. Dr. Blue and Ms. DiVincenzo, thank you so much for coming on the show and spending time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for helping us get the word out, because we really want to make sure everybody knows about these resources, especially 988, 216-623-6888 for our local crisis support line, texting 4-HOPE, like the number 4 and H-O-P-E, or to 741-741. And you can also visit withyouhereCLE.org or adamcc.org. We're more than happy to come out and talk to anybody and give presentations and help spread the word.
And one last thing, most importantly, help is available and it is free. It's free. All people have to do is simply reach out. It's there. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you again. And thank you to the audience listening and tuning in. We appreciate it. And like Jeff always says, keep fighting the good fight and we can all do better. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.